Hello, everyone. Welcome to Boy Problems Podcast.
Yay.
Yay.
You remember how to do this?
Barely. We were all having microphone figuring outings while we were getting on. Because we realized it's been 9 months since we recorded.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think
Yes.
and like unintentionally too.
Yes.
Like I think after our last episode, it was kind of going into summer and it was like, oh yeah, we'll figure out a time to record next, but we didn't actually put anything on the calendar, and then it just kept time just kept going, and
Yes.
here we are. But
Yes. Yes.
yeah.
So I think for today's episode, we kind of just wanted to do a check-in and kind of talk about what's been going on for the past 9 months. Spoiler alert, happily, very nothing, which is great for all of us. But wanted to check back in and, hopefully kind of get this thing back on its feet.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point because a lot of times in the addiction world, I think when people go kind of silent or you stop hearing from them, you think like, oh no, what's wrong? Like something probably bad is happening. And yeah, like you said, I think we are all grateful and happy to be able to say that hasn't been the case. It's been just like things have been good and we're just like living normal life. So, yeah, I just wanted to point that out. Which, like, Jessica, you kind of talk about this sometimes, like how when things are good, it makes you don't necessarily want to put your energy or time into like rehashing the past. I don't know if do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that for me, well, Casey's journey has been up and down in the sense that it has been, he's had relapses throughout. So there have been longer and longer spans between those. But, I guess for me, it's like inevitably there has been a relapse that happens. And so while things are good, at the beginning, I used to just like when things were okay, I would think, when is something bad going to happen? And the longer the time goes between them, the more, I guess, normal things become. And I try really hard not to to just enjoy those times because I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess in general, no one really knows like when something bad is going to happen. But I just try to be really mindful about enjoying things while they're good, because maybe sometime in the future they won't be, and I'll regret like looking back, like spending all of those good times worrying about something bad, and inevitably something bad related to addiction or not. Like, good things happen, bad things happen throughout our lives. But yeah, so I think it's challenging for me to always kind of go back to the hard stuff and talk about it over and over when things are going well, and not like be mentally in that space or emotionally in that space. So I've enjoyed the time. Things have been really uneventful for us, which is really nice. We just got through, I would say, oh, knock on wood, but we're through the second winter of sobriety, which is which is a milestone for Casey. He was talking about that. Like, this would be the first time I've ever gone 2 winters. I mean, depending. Two full winters with relapsing. So that's been great. I mean, that's really great. So, winter is challenging. I mean, just because of, mental health and depression, and it's easy to kind of go back to those self-soothing things. But so I think that's been a good thing for us. And the way that we think about our life is changing. We're orienting it to like healthy stuff as a family and all this stuff. So it's been really positive, and I've enjoyed kind of just living in that world and enjoying it for as long as we can. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think another thing, we were, even though we had paused the podcast, we had continued to do our monthly support groups, and always wonderful to do that and be a part of it. But people would get on and they would be heavy deep in the throes of, my boyfriend or husband OD'd last night, had to give him CPR. He's in jail right now. Or, my kid XYZ. And, it's always, I mean, for me, I just can't walk away from that. Your heart goes out to those people, even though they're across the country. Your heart just goes out to them. But it was always kind of nice to have some of our, people who come every time to give updates on that they've been doing well or their mental health has been doing well. It was always sweet when people would check back in at us. Like, we're kind of just like a megaphone. We're just like talking up here and no one really talks back to us. But it was always kind of interesting when someone would ask us questions back of like, well, how are you? Because like on XYZ podcast, you said you were depressed. And I was like, oh, thank you for caring. Like, that's nice.
Yeah. And I think that's why I'm excited to get back into the podcast as well, because always on those support groups, like hearing from so many people who are like, oh, I learned about this support group from your podcast and I listen to it all the time and I found it so helpful. And I think that's like what we always set out to do. Like we wanted to share our stories so other people knew that they weren't alone. And I agree, like thinking about past times and kind of reliving those can be pretty heavy, or like hearing other people who are going through it in the moment. Like, I think it's easy to get caught up in that. But also for me, I think it's good in a way. Like, I find it to be beneficial and that it like keeps me a little bit connected to like what could happen if we don't continue like taking care of ourselves. And I don't know, something about being aware of like just a reminder of what the reality has been and what it is, like also then makes me feel very grateful for where I am now. So I don't know, I guess that's I also like kind of staying in touch with that side of things.
Yeah, and I think something else that we've spoke about is, we were all three of us are, professional women who are just like high achievers who like to do all the things and do all the things very, very well. And so I think something that we've also spoken about is, we always tried to get a podcast out every other month. And so for
Every other
us,
week,
oh
actually.
yes, I'm sorry.
For a long
Yes.
time, we were doing weekly. Then we like gave ourselves a little bit of grace. We're like, okay, if we did every other week, that's still good enough.
That's true.
But
And so I think we've come to just an agreement between the three of us that, doing a podcast when we can and when we feel like it, like we're just going to kind of remove the pressure of making sure it's every Wednesday, it's up at, 4 a.m., every other Wednesday. I think we'll hopefully get just better content for everyone too, just so we're not, just kind of talking at a wall. Don't know.
Oh, yeah. So what, I guess, what's been going on the last 9 months?
Katie, you go first. You never go first.
Never go first. Okay.
No, I usually go. I usually just blurt out stuff. So it's your turn. You go first.
So Kimmin celebrated 8 years
Woo!
and
Oh my
in
gosh.
October. So that
I
was
know that,
wonderful.
but just hearing it is wow.
Yeah. I will say I feel a bit, I don't even know if I told you guys this. I feel a bit like a douchebag. So, his clean date's in October and we were eating dinner outside with the kids and it was beautiful outside and it was been really cold and we were sitting outside and he'd said something about going to a meeting, which is very typical for him, and whatever he said, and I was like, oh my God, is today your clean date? Now mind you, it's like 5, 6 o'clock and I've not said a word all day about it. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, congratulations. And the kids were playing on the swing set, so they didn't hear any of this. And I just felt like such a tool because I don't have it in my calendar. Because I feel like when I put it in my calendar in the beginning, he relapsed. He relapsed just a couple of times in the very, very beginning. And so, I thought it was going to happen a lot more because that's just the typical path with people relapsing a ton. And I didn't put it in my calendar. And I'm typically very good about remembering, but for whatever reason, I didn't. And I felt like a jerk. And what was interesting was, you know, I was saying like, oh my God, I'm an asshole. I am so sorry. This is such a big deal. 8 years, blah, blah. And Kim got emotional and was like, you don't have to feel like a jerk. I don't 100% remember what he was saying, but he did start to like to tear up and kind of cry just about like how shitty of a person he was and how like there's nothing that he can do to ever repay or repair, not repair because he's prepared. Just the things that happened and the things that he did to me while he was in active addiction. And so for me to forget is like totally fine because like he's just like kind of forever an asshole as it relates to addiction. And I would, you know, again, we just had a conversation. I'm like, no, that's not true. Like you have worked 8 hard years on staying sober and helping others through the community, XYZ. And so that it was really kind of moving for me. It almost kind of felt, you know, we've talked about amends before and basically when they screw you over so hard, there's really little they can do to like, you know, they can't pay you back. They can't, you know, any of that. But that felt very moving for me because he like realized, or he was just articulating like he knows how hard he fucked me over and that there's really nothing he can really ever do to take that back. And so that was an interesting moment for us around his sober date.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. First of all, congratulations to Kimmon because that's awesome. And second, like you should not feel like an asshole at all. And I have another way maybe you can frame it to make yourself feel better because guess what? Jay celebrated 4 years and both of us forgot the day too. Like, and I also felt very bad, like, oh my God, how did I forget this and not recognize it? But then I thought afterwards, like, you know, maybe this is a sign of like growth and how the fact that it's not something that is like weighing on us so heavily, where we're like counting down the days, like it's just become like normal life and like a normal day. I guess I am choosing to look in it that way as like, I feel like that's really positive. Jay is never, well, he's terrible at like remembering dates in general. And so he also has never really been good about remembering like his specific clean date. Like he's like, I know it's in January, but most of the time he'll be like, hey, remind me, when's my date? And it's January 19th, but I am someone who dates are locked in my head. I remember dates. And every year before this, like I've gotten him like some little special treat, like whatever it may be. And it's like I knew January 19th was coming up, but for some reason I just wasn't paying attention on the actual day. And it was like 2 days later, I looked at the calendar and was like, it's the 21st. I was like, Jay, your 4 years was 2 days ago. And the funny thing was, is he had been at a meeting, his normal like group meeting on Friday night, and didn't even know. He was like, well, shit, I guess I'm gonna have to get my token next week, a week late. So, I don't know. I think it could be a good thing.
Yeah.
True.
We've never counted days or used the milestones. I think it added too much pressure. So I don't know the date or any, well, maybe I do because we recorded a podcast about it last time.
Oh, yeah. I know that I feel like we recorded it in November-ish or December. Like it was.
Yeah, it was in the fall. But yeah, so we don't do dates and or celebrate that. It's more like what you're saying, that it's just like it's nice when it just feel like, you know, Casey says, like, I don't want to celebrate something I should just be doing anyways, you know, and that's a different way to look at it. But I mean, not that it's not work. I mean, you are working on yourself and, you know, all of that. But I think there are other ways people look at it, and that's also fine. You know, like you can just live your life in a healthy way and feel, you know, like you're making progress without counting the days too. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of my big thing. Let's see.
Him and what about his surgery?
Yep. So Kimon had surgery, and so he decided. So he's a marathon runner, And he, you know, I believe it's a bit addictive for him to run. And so he was training for a marathon. I think he ran like a 20-mile one day. And then I think the next day was like 13 or 16. I don't know. And he was in pain and he decided to run through it. And so he tore his meniscus and it was like a complicated tear. I don't know. And so, beginning of December, he had his surgery. And there was just a lot of talks ahead of time about pain management after surgery, and there was like heated conversations between us because I was like, no, you don't need it. You're getting a little microscopic needle in your knee. You're gonna be fine. Like, you know, I had childbirth and like I, you know, pushed things out and ripped in things and I just needed Tylenol. Like, you are fine. Like, you will be fine. And I also then had to like walk and take care of a baby after, where he got to lay on the couch for 8 weeks non-weight bearing and not work. So it was a heated topic for both of us. And he was like, but if the doctor says I need it, and I'm like, well, the doctor doesn't fucking know, it's fine. So he was very upfront with the doctor, told them that he was an opiate addict, XYZ. And even the day of the surgery, you know, we went in, I was with the anesthesiologist as well, and we're like, zero narcotics, none at all, not happening, whatever. There is a new drug called Toradol, which apparently is newer, and so it helps with pain and inflammation, and so a lot of addicts apparently are using that. So I'm just gonna say the name, throw it out there, Toradol, because Kim heard it at a meeting, because he was sharing at his meetings that he was a little nervous about it, his surgery and pain management, because Kimmon's not good with pain at all. And so he came back from surgery, you know, they wheel him out, you know, I'm just sitting in the waiting room, whatever. And they wheel him back in the room and he's fine. And I said something and he was like, well, they gave me an oxy. I was like, what the fuck? So I guess as he was coming out of you know, his sleep or whatever, they were like, are you in a lot of pain? He said yes. And so they're like, do you want an oxy? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, of course a fucking addict would say he wanted an oxy. Like, ugh. And so I was really frustrated now. He was not loopy. We did not come home with the prescription of oxy or anything like that. But I was just like, even all the planning and all the things we did and the however many times that we said no narcotics. Now, I do understand that pain medicines can do their job when they're used properly. And so Kim had never got messed up or anything like that. So it was fine that he took the one in the hospital. Again, we never came home with any, so that was good. But it was interesting. And then he just had like a, I don't know, an episode a few days ago where he was in a lot of pain and he felt like he had to go to the ER. So he did. And it was a kidney stone. Thankfully, it wasn't anything huge. But they were talking about giving him morphine. And he was like, yes, give it to me. Because it was like he was in the worst pain that he's ever experienced in his life. And I was like, Kimmon, like, you don't, like, the pain passed. Like, once it went through the ureter tube or whatever it was, like, it passed. But like, he could have just been like hopped up on morphine. And again, I could not go with him. Like, we had children, it was in the middle of the night, so I had to stay with the kids and he goes off to the ER. And he was now he said he didn't get it, but he was like, if I would have gotten it, you would have had to come pick me up. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, but the whole thing is I don't really care about getting drugs in the hospital as long as I don't come home with them. Now, it was the middle of the night, so I wasn't going to get into a thing with him. But in my head, I'm thinking, if you would have been all fucked up on morphine for like basically no reason, like because your pain lasted like 10 minutes, would that have sparked anything for you? Would that have, who knows? He probably would say no. I don't know. But it was just like a thing of, we will always have to be mindful, even though he's 8 years from this.
Yeah.
It felt very quick for him to say, yes, give me the morphine. And obviously he took an oxy pill. So
Yeah.
I know, Jessica, you've had a surgery story with Casey.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've told it before, but
Oh, I don't
yeah,
remember.
I mean, I think it was a long, long time ago, and he was earlier in recovery, and he had a major surgery, like screws put into his ankle, and it would, yeah. I mean, it was, I think, looking back, the hardest thing was just like convincing the doctors and everyone that he didn't, he couldn't, not that he didn't, but he couldn't be given, narcotic type drugs for pain. And it was frustrating to me at the time because it was just like I had to keep saying it over and over, and it was like they weren't listening or didn't really care about the implications for him. So that was frustrating. Because I just had to keep saying it, and he was on the same page. I think that eventually they were like, look, this is actually like needed for what he did. And so I think we went home with like two doses or something, but by the second day he was just on like Tylenol and ibuprofen. But yeah, I think that's the frustrating part is like you have good intentions and you try, and then it's like it's not like I just feel like, yeah, it's not as respected in those situations, and that's tough.
Yeah. Well, and it's tough because, like, to your both of your point, like, there are situations where those drugs are needed because of the pain, but then it's like such a balancing act of knowing, like, well, what's the right amount and when to stop? And, like, okay, if it is needed because of the pain, maybe it's going to be fine, but is it going to trigger something else? And so it's just all the unknowns. And I think, we've talked about experiences sometimes with other doctors where they're like, oh, it's fine. I'll just write a prescription and they just need to follow the prescription. And like, as long as they follow the prescription, no big deal. And you're like, yeah, but if they have a whole pill, like whole bottle of pills, an addict's brain is not just like, oh, sure, I'm going to follow the prescription and that's it. Like, so
Yeah.
I don't
Even
know.
with Tylenol, I mean, Kimon will stub his toe. I'm being dramatic. And he'll take a freaking Alka-Seltzer or something and he'll take six. And it's like, he just goes hot. Like, he cannot. I'm like, what does the bottle say for Tylenol? He's like, take two. And then he just throws four in his mouth. And I'm like, well, why did you take four? And he's like, I don't know. It'll help more. I'm like, I don't really think that's how it's working. It just goes to his mindset that he just doesn't have limits, he doesn't understand when to stop. And I will say another thing that I think is interesting, and then I'll wrap up my update. Kimon is a huge Grateful Dead fan, and the Dead and Company announced that they so Shannon and her whole family announced that they were doing a residency or whatever at the Sphere in Las Vegas. And it was like, okay, Kimon wanted to go, probably gonna be, they said that they were gonna quit after this, whatever, who knows. And anyway, so he did the whole thing, got a ticket. He's very excited. And I can't trust him to go to Vegas by himself. And so for work, I typically go to Vegas once, maybe twice a year. And so I've been going for 6+ years. And it would be very easy for him to like come stay in the hotel room with me because I'm usually there for a week. And, he could just do his own thing and it's just free, hotel room or whatever. But I could never, and he can't trust himself to be around gambling like that. And so for him to go to Vegas, like, it seems silly, but like, I feel like I have to go to Vegas because I don't know what he'll do.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go to Vegas in June for a Grateful Dead show. I will be waiting outside because I don't care for their music. And
Oh,
we will set a
you're missing
very,
out.
no, I'm not. I will be very strict on a budget for gambling because I know he'll want to. And that will be it.
Yeah.
Those are my updates.
I think that it's, I hear you on, just the concerns of Vegas. But I'm glad that you guys have, come up with some sort of compromise because I know how much like Grateful Dead means to Kimon, and we always run into each other at the shows when they're here in Indy. And I know for Jay, one of his like kind of big fears before getting into sobriety was like, once I get sober, I'm gonna not be able to go to concerts anymore and enjoy them, or I'm gonna miss out on like all of the things that like I like to do, and like music and live music especially is a big part of that. And so I think that, over the years they've both found ways, like they go to the concerts. There is a sober community within the Grateful Dead music family. And so I think that there are ways to go to these types of concerts and, you know, protect your sobriety. But, you know, then you put it in Vegas and that creates a whole other thing. So I get the concern. I would probably have similar concerns if Jay was like, oh, I'm just going to go to Vegas by myself. So yeah, but I think that it's good that they can still go in and enjoy the music. Look for the yellow balloon crowd.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I'm curious if they'll be in Vegas. You'd think somebody, what I mean?
Yeah, they usually they have a group called like the Wharf Rats, and that's like their kind of sober community. And there's usually representation at all the shows, so I would think so.
Yeah.
We're pumped we're going to.
Yeah, it was like a whole Taylor Swift thing. Like, you had to get codes, and like, we were on, and I was 6,000th in line, and he got number three. It was like, it was dramatic and stupid, and
oh,
my nation sucks.
Yeah.
But we won't go on that rant.
Yeah. No, we could talk about that for hours. So,
yeah. So, well, cool. Well, that's my update. Jess, how about you then?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot of stuff really, which is good. We had a good summer last summer. Our son started preschool, so that's been an adjustment for our family, which has been nice. Last summer, Casey and I did couples counseling, which was really good. And we're not doing that anymore, but it kind of just kind of got us kick-started into really just like focusing on each other after like the craziness of a kid. And our son was home a lot. Like, we didn't do daycare for a little while, and so we were just like burnt out and like constantly on in parent mode. And so anyways, counseling helped just kind of reorient us to like back to each other and stuff like that, so that was good. And so yeah, so now that our son is in school, we have like a day where it's just Casey and I, and we like hang out, and it's been good just to kind of have that one-on-one time together. So that has been a recent change that we're enjoying that. What else? I've been doing a lot of my own stuff related to therapy and stuff. So I started EMDR in the fall, which has been really helpful for me and my like anxiety management. So been working through that, and my counselor is really focused on like family dynamics and the role that you play in your family, but the impact your family has on you as well, and like determining if those things are healthy. And so it's been very interesting because I'm doing all this, and I've been going now for months, and it's the first time I've ever been in therapy where I have not talked about Casey at all. Like, he is not something we just haven't talked about it. And so that's new for me, because usually all of the therapy has been centered around like how to deal with the relapses and trust and like all of this stuff. It's like very much focused on him and his addiction or recovery and how I'm supposed to and just like how I can like maneuver around that. So I just find it really interesting. Like, when anytime we just keep going month after month, and I'm like, we haven't even talked about you yet. Which is kind of cool. So that's what I've been doing personally. Yeah, I don't know that. I mean, that's really it. We've just been having fun going on family trips, and I'm trying to think of anything in particular we haven't had. We went through winter.
Oh, sorry. What did you say?
I'm just thinking about like winter was fine. We didn't have anything happen during winter. But yeah, everything's been normal, which has been great.
I was gonna say that I'm glad you shared about the therapy for like just yourself, and how like Casey hasn't even come up in those therapy sessions, because for anyone who's like listening right now and they are in the throes of experiencing addiction with, you know, a loved one, like, the idea that you could get to that point is probably like crazy and seems so far off. Like, you know, I hope that shows people like it is possible. Like, you can get to a point where you're not so consumed by just everything that's happening with your loved one and then the impact that that has on you. And I know we've talked about it in the past, how, you know, a silver lining of addiction is that it's, you know, gotten us into therapy and places where we're able to like work on ourselves. And then it leads to a path where you truly are working on yourself outside of your loved one. So I don't know. I'm glad that you shared that. And I think it's like just very interesting that there's a whole other side of therapy you're exploring.
Yeah. And I would also say that I think that you're right by saying that. And it is interesting too, because I definitely wouldn't have thought that I would have so much to work on myself, but I absolutely do. And then I also start, so it's getting to the point where Casey's also like holding me accountable to things. So, you know, in the same way that his mental health has caused us harm, you know, with however he's not even always using, but sometimes even just like not taking care of himself and just being in a bad mood all of the time or whatever, that has been a challenge for us throughout the years as well. But he's starting to hold me accountable. So, you know, I deal with my anxiety, and it was like a month ago or something. We were driving, it was the weekend, and I don't know, we're in the car, and he goes, I have something I needed to tell you. Your anxiety is starting to impact like our time together. And like, it's taking away from, it just takes away from the time we have. And she's like, it doesn't seem like you have any fun anymore. It seems like you're always, you know, worried, and it's just starting to impact like our life. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Number one, I was like grateful that he said that. But yeah. Number two, like, oh, it's like, he is the healthier one right now. And, it's just kind of cool that like, it kind of has gotten to that point where it's like, he can set back. We're not so focused on all the things with him that there's space for things not to be okay with me and like someone to notice, which has been nice. So that was kind of cool too.
Yeah. It like has kind of flipped things a little bit in a way where it's forced us. I think we've talked about this before, where the addiction is such a big issue and causes so much pain and chaos and things that it's very easy to focus in on like, that's the problem for everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we, you know, are then able to ignore our own problems or the way we're contributing to things. And then like, once they start healing or even get to a place where they're healthier than us, you're like, you're left with having to recognize, oh, I've got all my own shit that either ignored or just not had time to pay attention to. So yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so that's been cool. And then I started anxiety meds, which has been really good as well. It's all, we're very, like, I would say like 2024 has been, and like, we're really focused on just like health in a lot of different ways, you know, like financial health and like just in every aspect of our life, like really trying to focus on that. So it's neat to be at a place where, you know, there are no like major disastrous things we have to deal with. Nothing's on fire. Everything is normal. And we have like a common goal and we're doing it together or as a family. And it's just, that's cool. So I'm enjoying that. So
nice.
Yeah. But that's it for, I mean, that's it really it. I mean, otherwise, I think I got a new job since the last time. Maybe not. Maybe we had recorded after that. But got a new job. I'm gonna start like school in the fall. So just like personal stuff, but nothing crazy in the home life, which is good. So
yeah. I can kind of tag on to like the health, like 2024 is like your year of health. Mm-hmm. I would say that probably like some of the biggest changes that I've seen in Jay in like the last year, maybe like a little over a year now, is related to like overall health. Like, he has gotten really into like working out and lifting weights, which then has led to him wanting to eat healthier and get better sleep. And like all of this has stemmed from, I think stemmed from being sober in the first place, which has like, and then he set up better routines in his life in general. And then that's kind of led him to want to like improve other areas of his life. And it's just been, I mean, I'm someone who I've always really valued like working out, exercising, like for my mental health and things. And so it's just, I laugh a lot of times, like Jay will come home and be like, oh man, I just feel so good when I go to the gym. And did you know X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, yeah, like this is what I've been trying to tell you for years, but okay, I'm so glad you're figuring it out. But it's just like wild for me to think back on the times when he was in active use and just like, you know, actively destroying his body and did not really care about himself or the value of his like life and things. And then to see it now where he's like takes it very seriously what he's eating and, you know, we're figuring out a schedule. What's the optimal schedule of workout day so that his muscles can recover? And, you know, got to make sure that he's getting his sleep and waking up at a certain time. It's just like, wow. I don't know. It makes me like happy to see, but it's just funny. Actually, last night he was talking about, because he's seen a lot of, what's the word? I think he's like seen change from that, like, oh, his like muscles are getting bigger and whatever it is, which also is motivating. But I think sometimes then it makes him feel a little like regretful. Like last night, he was like, just think, like, what would it be like if I had done this 10 years earlier? And he kind of, I think, was getting a little down on himself where he's like, just I think back and like how much time I wasted and just like what a waste of life it was for like so long. And I kind of like pushed back on him. I'm like, yeah, you know, it sucks that you didn't, but like here you are now. And there's a lot of people who maybe take really good care of themselves early in life and then let themselves go, you know, once they're 40. So maybe you've just like done it in a different order. I think the main thing is to like you're here now and this is what you're doing. So, you know, the whole what if or I wish I could go back and change things, you know, I get the regrets, but also it's here's where we are. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's all very interesting. And kind of sad, like you said, about the regret portion of it. But I think, you know, to your point, people's lives ebb and flow, and you know, good thing that he's on it now, you know, and then later. So
Better
keep
late.
going, Jay. Keep going.
Going. And I think that you just there's like a self-esteem, which I also think has come from his job, which he's been in like a new role, I guess almost a year now, or it'll be like a year next month where he got promoted. Like he's management level at the nursing home that he works at. So he oversees like a team of six cooks in the nursing home. And I think one, like he would have never seen himself in that type of position. And he's just like meeting the challenge and is succeeding. And he seems to still always be surprised, like when he is doing it well. Like he's like, I think I'm actually like good at this. And then I think there's just some fulfillment also in that, you know, they're taking care of people who are, you know, later in life and, you know, wanting to make sure that they're like the most comfortable that they can be and getting to know the family members. And I think all of that and the working out like contributes to his overall self-esteem. And we've talked about like with addiction, like low self-esteem and like shame and things are driving factors to addiction. So it's just interesting, I think, to see all of that come together. And I feel like he would not be in this position of his job if he hadn't been sober. And then it wouldn't have led to all of these other things. So I think we're both very aware a lot of times of like the importance of his sobriety for like the foundation of all the things he's been able to do since. So,
Yeah, that's awesome.
awesome.
yeah, we haven't really had, there's not been any like big, like triggering moments or like issues related to addiction, but there like have been I guess a couple times where, you know, addiction has popped into my mind where it's impacted like how I'm thinking about something. Like in the fall, my car, or no, Jay's car was like, it's been on its last leg for a while, but we were hoping to ride it out for another year or so. And then the plan was we would then get me a new car and he would take over my vehicle. But then that all happened like a year and a half earlier than we were planning for. And so we were kind of like scrambling, like, shit, we have to get this new car. And I did think a lot about like, okay, is this something that I can afford if, you know, in 6 months he does relapse and goes out on a long run? Or how do I make sure to protect myself in this arrangement so I don't get screwed if he can no longer pay his portion to the car payment? I don't know. It was interesting to think about, I guess.
Yeah. That's interesting. Because it's
Yeah.
real. It would
Yeah.
always be real.
Yeah. I think it got to a point where it was like, okay, I think we've talked about this too when it's come to houses and stuff. Like, for everything, you kind of have to take a little bit of a leap of faith. And then I think trust yourself where you're like, okay, I will be able to figure this out if something happens. But you can't keep living yourself like life in fear or not doing things because something might happen. So
Right.
trying to balance that, like, I want to be smart about the decisions I'm making, but I also don't want to not do things because something bad may happen.
Right. Because you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, it
You
would
always
suck to
will.
have to figure out, but
Right. You figure it out.
we would do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Does
Yeah.
anybody have anything else to share?
No, I
Awesome.
think so.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening today. And we just appreciate you being a part of this community. And hopefully, things may be boring in your life too. Boring is typically always good in an addict's world. So keep coming back.